Welcome to the Baptist Joint Committee podcast. I'm Jordan Edwards, Communications Associate at the BJC. This year marks the 80th anniversary of the Baptist Joint Committee, and I'm here today with a very special guest, Beth Eccles, who served on the BJC staff in the 60s and early 70s. Beth, thank you so much for agreeing to do this.
My pleasure.
Today we want to talk with you about BJC history and your experiences, but first I want to give a little intro to listeners about the origins of the BJC. The BJC traces its roots back to 1936. It started as a Southern Baptist Committee on Public Relations. It was chaired by the same man who chaired a very similar committee of the Northern Baptist Convention, creating a new model of cooperation between Baptists on religious liberty issues. In 1946, we opened a permanent office in Washington, D.C., and we have been there ever since. While the names of supporting bodies have changed over the years, the mission has remained focused on religious liberty. We are currently the Baptist Joint Committee for Religious Liberty, previously the Baptist Joint Committee on Public Affairs. So, Mrs. Eccles, I want to turn to you now and talk about your beginnings at the BJC. You started working there in 1965. So tell me a little bit about your life before the BJC. You mentioned that you had worked in ministry before that. Is that correct?
Campus ministry.
Mm-hmm. And so what did you do there? What school were you at?
I began at Eastern University in Richmond, Kentucky, following seminary. And I was there, I guess, about 4 years. And I was then promoted to the state office in Kentucky, where I traveled around to the different campuses and met with students in leadership training and whatever. And I had that job 4 or 5 years when I was invited to come to go to Louisiana, where I was 3 or 4 years. But I loved my work.
So after you worked at this job, why did you decide to leave and go to the BJC? Tell me about your migration to the BJC.
Ah, that's an interesting story. In Kentucky, we had the first international student conference for students in on our campuses who were studying in Kentucky. And we met at Mammoth Cave in Kentucky for our first meetings. Dr. Frank Stagg, one of the great heroes of Baptist, usually was our speaker when we had the Thanksgiving meetings. And one of the issues nearly always was somebody of the students would say, why is it you can talk about the love of God and yet you treat the black people differently here in the United States? Every time we had a meeting, somebody would bring up that aspect of life. We realized it was a problem with our image among the students. So when I went to Louisiana, we felt like we had to address that concern and problem. And we decided that we were going to integrate our international conference over the Thanksgiving holidays. Now, this was in early 1960 that we made that decision. We met at the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary for the Thanksgiving conference. We invited people from Preservation Hall in New Orleans to come and have Thanksgiving dinner with us and entertain us with Preservation Hall music. And we had a great time. I was so excited about it because I have never felt the differences between blacks and whites that was traditional in the South.
So how did you end up at the BJC after all this?
Well, after the White Citizens Council reported on this, my name was mud throughout Louisiana with most of the Baptist leaders, many of them saying, well, you can say this because you're single. You don't have a family to support. But anyway, things got so hot that I needed to leave. And I wasn't exactly fired, but there was no support left for me. And I knew that it was time for me to leave. And I came then to Washington, where some friends, Bob and Jane Denny, who were a part of the Baptist World Alliance, where they said, come and live with us and look around and find another job, which I did. And it wasn't long before a friend of mine suggested that I would like the Baptist Joint Committee. So I don't even recall interviewing for it, but it just sort of worked out peaceably and without any great frustration that I joined the staff of the BJC as the associate. I'm not sure what term they used at that time, but anyway, I was the assistant to Barry Garrett, one of the great news writers for Baptist Press. And Barry and I worked together then in the BJC.
Now, can you kind of explain the relationship between Baptist Press and the BJC? Were you getting two paychecks, or was the Baptist Press part of the BJC, or how did that work at the time?
Well, we were a part of the Baptist Press of the Southern Baptist Convention. W.C. Fields, I think, was the top SBC leader. Jim Newton was on his staff, and if I worked hard on it, I could probably think of others. We were on the, we were considered the Washington office of Baptist Press, and we had a quaint little contraption that we called a telex machine in the corner of my office, and messages would come in from Jim Newton or W.C. Fields to us, and we could write our stories and send them to Nashville, where they would be published along with other releases from the Washington office.
Well, you must have been really excited to get this job and to move into this, to be able to stay in Baptist life, but also having the freedom to not be confined to a worldview that you didn't agree with.
Oh, that's true. Oh, absolutely. There was great freedom at the Baptist Joint Committee. We were working on a totally new front for most Baptists, and unfortunately, I'm afraid we're still not as well known as we should be because of the wideness of our interest. And I'm speaking of we because even though I'm not able to contribute anything substantial to the BJC, I still feel that I'm a part of it because
well, we still feel you're a part of it too.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about writing. You covered Congress. You were an accredited writer, reporter for Congress.
Right.
What was that like covering Congress in those days in the 60s and early 70s?
Good question. Everett Dirksen, was one of the leaders in on the Hill. And that was the time when prayer in the schools was one of the big issues. And I remember going to a lot of hearings that Everett Dirksen would have that the Baptists would be interested in. And I would write up whatever Everett Dirksen was saying. It was always, oh, I want these little children to be able to pray in schools. He was quite a character. So both Barry and I would cover Dirksen.
Mm-hmm. And you were a good team. You said that Barry was great to work with.
Oh, absolutely. He taught me more about journalism than any other human being. I did take some work at, do some work at George Washington University in news writing, but it was Barry who really helped discover the fact that maybe I could be a writer after all.
Yeah.
He was great to work with.
And another kind of issue come up, this is still the 60s, was did you, just in general, being a woman writer among the press corps there, did you feel marginalized or overlooked or anything like that?
Well, not on the Hill, because there were other women writers on the Hill working with Congress and the Supreme Court. So that part was okay. And so far as I know, with the Baptist Press in Nashville, I was accepted as a regular writer with them.
You've mentioned you have great admiration for Dr. Carlson. What did you like about him? What made him a great executive director?
Well, he was just about as smart as anybody I had ever encountered. But the smartness was superseded by the fact that he was a great Christian, a real believer in what the Christian faith is all about. And he was as fair a person as I have ever known. Great fun also. We would spend a lot of time eating together at lunch. And it was the kind of lunchtime that I didn't want to miss, because if Dr. Carlson were there, we would really be treated to a feast of ideas. How can I say it? He really was one of the greatest human beings I've ever known.
What was the atmosphere in the office like? You mentioned Dr. Carlson was a lot of fun. Did everyone get along? Was there a lot of cooperation between departments?
Oh, absolutely. We were a team, all of us. We worked together to produce articles for the report from the Capitol. I don't recall any rancor that we had with fellow workers. When Dr. Carlson was there, we all respected him. We respected one another. I was accepted without any problem, as well as other women who were working on the staff.
Well, there's a reason he was there. You know, he was there from 1953 to 1972, so he was there for a long time, and probably
yes.
Because he was so well respected. And,
yes.
And he got along with the board, I'm sure.
Yes.
Yeah. You were at the BJC on Capitol Hill in the mid to late 60s, early 70s, in a very turbulent time. You had civil rights movement, you had Vietnam, and Watergate towards the end of your tenure at the BJC. So what was it like working on the Hill at such an interesting and turbulent time in American history?
Boy.
I know it's a big question, but
it really is.
But I know you being a proponent of integration and equality among the races, that sort of thing, you must have had an interesting perspective on what was going on.
Absolutely. You felt like you were in on the front lines of change. I found a church that was open to all kinds of people. And that helped me socially.
What church was that? What church?
National Baptist Memorial on 16th Street. Was a great church that was fully integrated. We had an integrated choir, and the whole thing was just really a wonderful experience for worship.
At the time, you were Beth Hayworth.
Yes.
You're Beth Eccles now, but you were Beth Hayworth back then. What sort of things did you cover specifically? What kind of subjects did you cover at the time?
It was a time when different parts of the government were releasing studies on poverty, racial things.
You got there the year after LBJ signed the Civil Rights Act.
Yes, we were having the war on poverty and different things like that. And when the office was assigned different reports about human need, they all turned to me to do the writing because they felt like I related. But anyway, it was a compliment that they asked me to do the writing. And Barry pushed me to do a lot of things that I didn't think I could do, but I did. And it was because of Barry Garrett that I was able to write on these human interest.
And you felt passionate about the issues that were at the time.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Poverty, mainly poverty. And
now you mentioned the issues with school prayer at the time. What other religious liberty, church-state issues did you cover in the 60s?
Well, Barry handled most of the Supreme Court decisions. I would pick up a lot of the releases, but then Barry and I would talk about them, and he would be the author of the articles.
Now, one thing that hasn't changed is school vouchers, aid to parochial schools. That was something when we were looking through Report from the Capitol issues at the time. That was still an issue back then, right?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Church-state matters were very much on the front page.
Just like they are today.
Yes, yes.
You keep up with current events, and you're paying attention to the news and things like that. What do you think about the current state of church-state affairs and the way the climate is right now?
I'm greatly concerned because I think there are too many divisions among us in the country. And one, I don't feel like the electorate is very well informed on a lot of issues. They don't read the newspapers, not the ones that I read, like the Times, New York Times, and the Post, and the Christian Science Monitor. And it concerns me that they're listening to just one aspect of the news media.
The aspect they want to hear.
The aspect that they want to hear, or they're listening to one another.
I want to go back to John Baker, because he was such a integral part of the BJC in terms of litigation and a lot of the Supreme Court briefs,
yes.
Early Supreme Court briefs. What was he like? What was working with him like?
Well, it was always funny because he had such a great sense of humor. But he did his work primarily by himself. He would consult with Barry and James Sapp, Jim Sapp and Dr. Carlson. They would work together on the positions that we needed to deal with, things that we could cover as a news item.
Mm-hmm.
He was great fun to work with.
You know, it's kind of interesting because we still do those sorts of things. when something, when there was a big Supreme Court brief or some issue the BJC, some stance the BJC was taking, how did you kind of integrate that into your reporting? Did you have to write a press release, and how did that work?
Well, I'm sure we would get out a press release, not necessarily expressing our opinions, but trying to be fair in covering the story as it actually was.
That's still something we do at the BJC.
Yes. Yeah. And you do it so well.
Thank you.
So proud to see what kind of work you all are involved in.
Yeah, it's one of those things that church-state issues and the separation of church and state and religious liberty, it'll never go away. Those issues will never go away. One thing I want to ask you is, you know, you still feel connected to the BJC. You worked there for several years. Why do you think the BJC has been able to stick around for 80 years?
Well, for one thing, it's the cooperation of several Baptist groups who care about church-state relations and want to preserve what we have in the U.S. I'm really proud when I know that the BJC is supporting the separation of church and state.
Well, we wouldn't be the BJC without that support. And you're right about the bodies. We don't agree on every theological issue. There's different denominational bodies who have different views on different things, but that church-state separation is something that kind of bonds everyone together. Yeah. We talked a little bit about covering Congress, that sort of thing. Was it difficult to write stories? Because these days we just go on the internet and we can look at different sources, different news sources. People use email. But there's that great photo of you getting documents that was on the cover report from the Capitol. You had to go to a room to get documents?
Yes. There were stacks that I could access without any problem on the Hill, as well as at the Supreme Court. And all I would do is just go and say, I need such and such.
And I guess you had to make phone calls if you wanted to get a quote from somebody.
Yes, you did. It was such a backward time compared to what we have now with all of the extra media.
Well, you were
the source of a lot of information. People in other parts of the Southern Baptist Convention, which the Baptist News Network covered. Anyway, people would call us news people who wanted to know more than they were getting from the local papers would call and talk to Barry or...
Like Walter Cronkite would pick up the phone and... No, I'm just kidding. It seems like such an interesting time to be working there. I want to thank you for taking some time out of your day to speak with me about the BJC. I really enjoyed speaking with you, and I really enjoyed getting to hear about where we've come from as we look to the future.
Well, visiting the BJC office recently was a real treat for me because I remember so many people that I worked with, and
you stay in touch with the BJC after, you know, throughout the years. You knew James Dunn, you know Brent Walker now. So
yes, and James and I have remained very good friends. We did, and I'm so sorry about his recent death because he was a great one.
Yeah, he was. And he was a quote machine.
Oh my, that's a good way to describe James. You know, as I look back, every person that I met at the BJC was commendable. They were intelligent. They cared about the world. They cared about issues that I consider important for our survival as a people.
Now, I hope you don't mind mentioning you have a birthday coming up.
That's right.
And you'll be 92?
92.
So what's the secret to living to 92?
Having an interesting life, probably.
Keep your brain moving, right?
Well, sometimes I wonder if it isn't sort of stalled or not. Something, I don't know. But I'm still enjoying life. I really am. And when I do have physical problems, and I do have a few, I still tell my doctors, I'm not afraid to die, but I still have work that I want to do. I'm still writing. I've done articles for my former friend at the Baptist World Alliance. I have written about my travels and interests in international affairs and international people that I have known. And I'm thankful for life.
We're thankful for you being around.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Baptist Joint Committee podcast. For more podcasts, you can go to our podcast page at bjconline.org/podcast or subscribe to our iTunes channel.